Let's start today in 1 Kings chapter 3. An unusual place maybe to start for the sermon on the book of Proverbs, but yet it's a fitting place to start in light of who our author is. So if you need a Bible, please get our men's attention. And again, it's always good to start off with prayer. So let's ask God for all of us to be receptive to his word today. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we interact with your word, that we might not just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of it as well. Please speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think today we have an expert with us to teach us about this matter of wisdom, Solomon. Solomon was a man that God gave unusual wisdom to. But as we will notice if you read through the book of 1 Kings, he turned away from God and suffered the consequences as a result. But we find out how he got this wisdom in chapter 3 of 1 Kings. Look at verse 3. Solomon loved God. He loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Then drop down to verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him his great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child." He's 20 years of age, I think, around this time. "I do not know how to go out and or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore," here's his request, "give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you." And then it goes on and says how he walked in the ways of the Lord, and then he demonstrated his wisdom as he solved a situation between two prostitutes who claimed that their baby was the one that was still alive. And he ends up in verse 28. Notice it says, "All Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice." It goes on to tell about his wealth in the next chapter, but notice drop down to chapter 4, verse 29. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand of the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men." And it lists some men who were well known at that day for their wisdom. Verse 32, "He spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out on the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and reptiles and of fish. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom." Go over to chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. It tells us that a lady, a queen of Sheba, heard of Solomon's fame, and so she came to test him out to see what he was like. In verse 3, "Solomon answered all of her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, their cupbearers, his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of God, there was no more breath in her." She lost her breath. She was so amazed. at his wisdom. And it goes on and tells about his unbelievable and uncanny wisdom. And only a couple chapters later, we learn that he turned away from the Lord. In spite of all that, he turns away from the Lord, and he ends up with 700 wives and 300 concubines. And that they turned his heart away from God. What I think we find from our situation here, the setting for going back to the book of Proverbs, is that Solomon writes out of a lifetime of experience. He experienced God's blessing, an incredible gift of wisdom, but then he turned away from God and suffered incredible consequences as well. He writes about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. But he now writes as an older man and says, I have been there, I have done that, I've experienced great, and I've experienced some great lows. And now here, I want you to understand what wisdom is all about. We've talked about wisdom before. Wisdom is more than just knowledge. It's more than just knowing a lot of information. It is taking that information and being able to apply it to our lives. Wisdom is in its essence is skill, the ability to do a job. The wisdom here offered by the book of Proverbs is skill in living. That's probably the best definition I have found for wisdom. It's not my own, so I can say that. It's a great definition. Wisdom is skill in living. The book of Proverbs teaches us how to live skillfully in every area of our lives. In our family, in our finances, our friendships, speech, and work. One writer says this, wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Another writer, Dr. Paul Tournier, says, the Bible is a book in which a person may learn from his Creator the art of healthy living. Do you want to know the way of healthy living? Do you want to know the skill of living? Then look to God's Word. Look to the wisdom that we're talking about in the Word of God. The book of Proverbs helps us to that end. And Jesus is the one who exemplifies wisdom fully. You want to see wisdom in all of its excellence and brilliance? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says, in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so as I start today and as I close today, you'll hear the similar thought. Do you know what the wisest thing you could ever do today? Put your trust in Jesus Christ. That is the place where we must begin. To look to Him for all of wisdom. It's personified in our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot go wrong if you begin there and then go from there and learn His ways. I believe it was Warren Wiersbe, writer, educator, and pastor, who said this. Educated and trained people who ignore or reject Christ may be successful in living, but without Christ, they will never succeed in making a good life. In other words, one that glorifies God. So the wisest thing we could ever do is to put our trust in Christ as our personal Savior, and live in obedience to Him. The wise in the Bible are often referred to as the godly, the upright, the blameless, the God-fearing, or the righteous. Today, I'd like to look at some characteristics. And you're wondering, boy, Pastor, let's get to it. Let's look at some characteristics of the wise man. Number one, you would expect this. He fears the Lord. The first characteristic of one who is wise is he fears the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We hear that theme repeated throughout the book of Proverbs and throughout the wisdom literature. Job chapter 28, verse 28 says this, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see that theme throughout. Ecclesiastes 12:13, where Solomon looks back at his life and he says, I enjoyed all kinds of wealth. I did whatever my heart desired. I went after the things and pleasures of this world. But you know what the end of the matter is? Here's the conclusion. Do you know what it is? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Fear includes not only a correct way of thinking about God, but a correct relationship to Him. To fear God is to know Him. It is an affectionate reverence or awe that results in humbly bowing before His will. Fear means to regard God with a reverent awe, a holy dread. Fear of the Lord means to be in awe of God's worth and His position. No one is like God. We've heard that sung about this morning. No one is like Him. Our great God, He is in a category all by Himself. He is not, as we've talked about on Sunday nights, He is not on a shelf with other gods. He is on a shelf all His own. God is perfect in all He does and in everything He is. The fear of the Lord is the controlling principle, the foundation on which one must build their life. The wise man tries to think the way God thinks, values what God values, wants what God wants. He wants God's will to be done. The wise man hears and obeys. The wise man fears the Lord and trusts in Him. You want to know how to have wisdom? Begin with God. Without Him, you will not have wisdom. You'll have facts and information and a lot of knowledge, but it will get you nowhere. You must begin with a proper view of God. So a wise man fears God. Number two, a wise man eagerly welcomes instruction. Instruction. And how do we do this? We first begin by listening. Listening. In fact, it's interesting. The wise son listens to whom? His parents, first of all. It begins in the home. God has set up an order in which parents are to be expelling and instructing and teaching truth. And so children must obey their parents, must listen to their parents. The wise man listens to instruction, especially from the Word of God. The wise man delights in God's word. In fact, we read that in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. Proverbs 1:5, let the wise man hear and increase in learning. Proverbs 19:27, cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom. And so it keeps talking in the book of Proverbs about inclining your ear, listening, bending your ear toward God's word. That's where we find wisdom. Do you realize you were not born with wisdom? You were born a sinner with a sinful nature, a bent toward evil. And so God's word is what helps transform that evil tendency and bent towards hearing God's word and coming to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Wisdom is gained through disciplined instruction. So not only were we not born with wisdom, we don't automatically get wise as we grow older. Just because someone is maybe 60 years or 70 or 80 or even 90 years of age, it does not mean that one is wise. We must be in God's word. We must seek God's ways first to be wise. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask of the Lord. Ask of God, who gives generously to all. So we must go to God for wisdom. That's where we find the best instruction of all. So practically, what does that mean? It means spending time reading and studying God's Word. Don't waste our time listening to foolishness and lies. Be careful what we read. Be careful what we watch, what we listen to. Be selective in what you take in on your computer and on the radio and the TV. I won't go into any specifics, but it's just the idea of be careful what you allow to be instructing you. And I encourage you, if you're not in the habit of being in God's Word on a daily basis, go to the book of Proverbs and whatever day it is. You've heard me say this before. Today is the 7th, so go to the 7th chapter of Proverbs and read that for that day. Whatever day it is, go to that. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And I believe if you'll do that, and if you'll allow those Proverbs to go through your mind and heart, it will transform your way of thinking. It will help you to understand. I have found over and over again, as I do that, I may have a particular problem that day where I'm about ready to lash out at someone, and all of a sudden I remember reading something in that proverb about holding your tongue, about the wise man who watches what he says. Be careful. Allow God's Word to instruct you. Third, the wise man humbly accepts correction, rebuke, and advice. And I may add this, and counsel. The wise man accepts correction. The key is humility, or humbly accepting it. I find that many people, including pastors and Christians, are insulted if you try to give them words of advice. It's almost as if they appear, don't tell me what to think. Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to do my own thing. Is that the approach of the wise person? No. The wise person says, teach me, instruct me, advise me, counsel me. And who of us doesn't need counsel? I think throughout my life, of all the people who have counseled me, advised me, and I find that that is a cherished treasure that I have in my life. Of all the people who have had input in my life, I value that greatly. But our pride says, don't tell me. I know everything. But we don't. Pride is a terrible thing to struggle with. The wise person realizes who he is and what his limitations are. He doesn't think too highly of himself. He realizes that we have not arrived. We're all in process. I saw a poster this week, and I know those who look at one of the websites that I refer to all the time, the Chalice website, on there was a poster of the week, and it said this. A man named Justin Taylor said, "The church should be a safe place for sinners without being a safe place for sin." I like that. The church should be a safe place for sinners without being a safe place for sin. And you cannot have a safe place for sinners without that kind of admonishment and rebuke and correction and counsel that we all bring to one another in an atmosphere of love and grace. Not policing one another, but out of love and grace we seek to make sure that we're walking on the right path. And if we see someone steering off and going by the wayside, we come along lovingly and encourage them to get back on the path. Correction, instruction, rebuke, advice. We read about it all throughout the book of Proverbs. I'll read just a couple verses. Proverbs 9, verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. But reprove a wise man, and he will love you. In fact, verse 9 then says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Proverbs 10:17, whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. And on we could go. Proverbs 17:10, Proverbs 13:10, Proverbs 12:15, all remind us that a wise man listens to advice. So I encourage you today, be wise, be humble, be willing to receive advice, correction, and counsel. And it begins again, in the home. Teenager, college person, when your parents are giving loving instruction from God's Word, be humble, be wise,
and listen. Number four, a wise person associates with wise people. It may seem like repetition, but this is so important. Who we hang out with is vital. Proverbs 13:20, refer to it, look at it often, says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. A wise person hangs around wise friends. A wise person hangs around with wise men and women. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you in a practical way? I think of my parents. I think of my in-laws. I valued their advice, their counsel. I believe I have chosen this path because of their input in my life through the years. Friends who are my age, upperclassmen when I was in college, mentors, pastors, fellow servants, fellow church members of all age, you, as well as all these ones I've listed, are the wise people that I like to hang around with, and you're good for me. You know, one of the things I love about our church is that we have people of all ages here. And I know that some churches particularly target going only after a certain demographic, only a certain age, young families with young kids. I praise God for the way God is leading more families with young kids our way. It's an answer to our prayer. But I also love the fact that we have some senior saints here and everywhere in between. My boys enjoy spending time with the senior saints in our church. In fact, when they come home, they say, I want to go visit so-and-so. And I'm thinking, great, it's not their classmate from high school, it's someone who is 50 years or 60 years or 70 years older than they are. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to look around the congregation and finding little kids sitting next to senior saints, grandparents. I love that. That is wonderful. Too oftentimes we like to segment ourselves and only be with those of our own age. But wisdom, we need to be around wise people. We need to grow in our understanding. Also, wise people recorded in Scripture. Wise men and women in church history. Books written by godly people. Christian biographies. We need to fill our minds with wise teaching and influence. Number five, a wise person runs from evil. Proverbs 14:16 says, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. You know, sin promises so much, but it delivers so little. It's one of those things where you get enticed and you think how wonderful, it's glamorous, it's glittery, it's glowing, and we go after it, and then afterwards it leaves you just totally frustrated and feeling down because you've let down the Lord. Sin never comes through and delivers like it says. The way of sin is enticing, and the path is well populated. The appeal from others is great, but it leaves us full of heartache and pain and remorse. This last week I was talking with one of the workers at Bickford, and it was really one of the best times I've had one of the staff members. And she was kind of bemoaning the fact that here she has three children, one in college, in fact, the same place as Katie is going to, one in college and two in high school. And she says, what a struggle it is to try to keep her kids on the right path, to keep thinking about areas of wisdom. And I told her, I kind of likened it to the illustration of, if you want to just go along with the culture, you just get on the raft and let her go. And you just kind of go without any struggle. Just kind of go along with everything, the way the world's going. There's no effort needed. It'll take you along and you've got all the encouragement and advice to go down. But when you want to go upstream, when you want to go God's way, when you want to go the wise way, you better be prepared. It takes a lot of effort. It's a struggle. And so we talked about that and how the challenge of competing with the music of our day and the media of our day and the people all around and the friends who don't care about God and don't care about church, how do you compete with all that? It is a challenge. But God wants us to go the wise way, to go away from evil. And the wise person does that. When a wise person submits himself to God, he gains wisdom. The ways of the wicked will lose their attractiveness as we draw near to Him. Wise people don't go as close to the edge as possible. They stay away from the edge. I think of Joseph again in chapter 39 of Genesis and how he just ran, he fled. He had every opportunity he could as Potiphar's wife enticed him every day. It says day after day after day. And she was probably a beautiful woman, but Joseph said, no, I will not do that. And he ran. And how we need to run away from the evil of our day. Very difficult to do, but I challenge you, be wise. Sixth, and we're coming, we're going, making our way, we're making our progress. He is self-controlled in all matters. The wise man is under God's control. That's really a kind of a better way of saying it. Though the blanks are, he is self-controlled. Really, we're under God's control. The New Testament talks about under the control of the Holy Spirit. We read in Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Proverbs 25:28, here is really the key verse. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. There is no defense, in other words. A man out of control, he's out of control usually in all of his life. The book of Proverbs talks about the use of the tongue. The wise is very careful. Also, the matter of anger. Proverbs 29:11, the fool gives full vent for his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Self-control. How we all need that in every area of our life. Number 7, he looks to the future. Proverbs 27:12, the prudent or wise sees danger and hides himself, but the simple goes right into it and suffers for it. So, in other words, the wise, he sees what's ahead. He makes wise choices. He sees beyond the immediate fun and the thrills, and he considers the consequences. He's willing to correct his direction if he gets off path. He looks to the future, and he sees what's best. Number 8, he works with great diligence. We've talked about this before, and I think this is so important. Those of you that are coming home from college and working in the workplace, those of you in your professions, school kids, there is no excuse for laziness for us believers. Absolutely no excuse. And I've seen many Christians who are trying to get away with it as little as they can do, and it makes me sick. You want to be a good testimony for Jesus Christ? Work hard. Work hard. In fact, not only work hard, take initiative. If you see something that needs to be done in your workplace or here at church or wherever, take the initiative and do it. Don't wait to be asked. He works hard. He's trustworthy. He can be relied upon. He's not lazy. He doesn't take the easy way out. And if there's anything I can't stand that makes me nauseous is to watch Christians who are just lazy bums. Man, it just makes me, it takes me off. And one of the things I try to do with my boys is I try to teach them how to work hard. And I'm thankful when they've come back and said, Dad, thanks for teaching us how to work hard. It's one of the things I really have learned from my dad, and I hope I've passed on well to my boys. He works with great diligence. Number 9, a wise man is a joy to others. Not a wise guy, you know, trying to be cute, but we're talking about wisdom from God. A wise man is a joy to others, and it begins right with his parents. Proverbs 10, verse 1 says, a wise son makes a glad father. I'll tell you, there's nothing that brings greater joy to my heart than knowing that my boys are walking in the way of the Lord. And I'll tell you, it's only by God's grace. It's not because I did everything right. In fact, if anything, they learned because Dad did a lot of things wrong. And God worked in spite of that. But it means an awful lot to know that my boys are walking in the path of the Lord. A wise son makes a glad father. And it's repeated throughout the book of Proverbs. But it also makes everyone else glad. It makes a whole city glad. It makes the church glad. It makes everything, because one who is wise is considerate and not always thinking about himself. He's concerned about others. And I'll tell you, that goes an awful long ways. And then number 10, the wise person. His path is the path of life, fulfillment, and success. And I want you to just put down Proverbs chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 3. You might already have it in there in your notes already. Yes, you do. Read those sometime. But I want to read just four verses from Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. In other words, it's basically saying life is going to be a lot more satisfactory, a lot more fulfilling when you follow God's ways. It doesn't mean you're going to all of a sudden have wealth and all that stuff. No, you may be living as a poor person, but I'll tell you, God is going to use you in an incredible way. Life will be most fulfilling and satisfactory and successful when you follow God's ways, when you walk in wisdom. In conclusion, the way of wisdom is the way of truth. A person, however, can know about wisdom, but not walk in the way of wisdom. A person can know about God, but not choose to love or honor God. And that may be the case for you today. I trust that it's not indicative of your heart. I trust that you're not here today just going along with the motions, being here, hearing all this information, and then walking away from here without any change of your heart, without any change of your behavior. If God really is important, if you are fearing God, if you're walking in the ways of wisdom, you will walk in obedience to Him. But you can't do it alone. You can't do it successfully in your own efforts. Your heart needs to be changed, and you need God's strength to do it. Jesus is the only way that a man's heart or woman's heart can be changed. He is the only one who can save, and He is the only one who can enable us to live this kind of life. But when you do, you will be most happy, and you'll bring glory to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, the way of wisdom is the best way. And yet we look around at the glitter and the glamour of the world. We look at our friends and they seemingly have it all together. And we say, I want that instead. Father, forgive us for going after other gods of this age. Forgive us for turning our hearts away in unfaithfulness against You. And Father, help bring us back. Remind us. Make us miserable. Especially those of us who claim to be followers of Christ. Make us miserable when we go after the things of this world and turn our hearts toward evil. Draw our hearts back, and Father, forgive us when we go astray. Give us joy in our service. Give us satisfaction and joy in You. We love You, and we want to say we want to serve You with a full heart, bent towards wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name.